The forces of Qui-Gon have struck and caused an unplanned delay. However, we were able to find something else in the records of the Temple of Orion. An interview with the director, D.P., one of the producers, and part of the cast of Lanterns Aura's newest production, Alpine Oaks, which is available on YouTube. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone who was able to make it today. We're going to be talking about Alpine Oaks, you know, the movie we made last summer, and totally remember everything that happened, even though it was like, what, 9 months ago?
7 months
remember
ago.
Drinking
wait, 7 months? It was only 7 months?
No.
No, it's like 9 months.
Yeah, 9 months, yeah.
It was like 9 months ago. So it's been a little bit. So, just to start off, guys, want to introduce yourselves, starting off with Dragon on the farthest side.
I'm Sean. I was the writer and director of the film.
Garrett.
Hello, everyone. I'm Garrett Cordingley. I was the director of photography, the camera guy, the myth of man.
Andrew?
I'm Andrew Watson. I was the murderer, and that's it.
And Matt?
And I'm Matt Hall, and I was the lead in Alpine Oaks, and I had a great time.
And who don't know me, I'm Carter Lyon. I did the drone pilot work, but I'm mostly going to be doing the kind of leading this interview style thing today. And to start us off, what was your first thought when you first, you know, like either read the script or heard about the project or generally kind of knew what you were getting into? What were you guys kind of thinking when you were approached about this? And anyone can feel free to talk.
I found out, hey, we're going to be in a cabin in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of people who work in film. Let's shoot some shit. And so I started writing, and I figured what better for a cabin in the middle of nowhere than a horror script. And then I gave the script to Carter and let him start coordinating, getting actual everyone organized for up there, since he was closer to the location than me and actually in the same country as the location.
Yeah,
I was working at, I still work at a grocery store, but I was working at a grocery store at the time, and I wasn't really part of this community, but I ran into Carter, who I had helped out with your drama class back in high school. About how many years ago was that? Like 5 years ago now?
Like 5 years ago. Yeah.
5 years ago. Yeah. So I was catching up with you and I heard you started a production company and I was like, oh, I'm an actor. Let me know if you need anything. So yeah, I think it was like later on that day you were like, hey, I've got this, we're looking for somebody for this film if you want to be part of it. So I jumped on board because I like working with you and I always have enjoyed being around you, Carter. And when I first read the script, I liked it a lot because I love slasher movies and I love horror movies. And I felt like this was a nice twist on that genre where it was kind of the aftermath of a slasher movie. And it wasn't about, like, you know, it was kind of about teenagers who got killed at a cabin, but it was the aftermath of that. It wasn't, you know, just the usual thing. I felt like there was a cool twist on that approach, and I liked that, so I was excited to dive in.
Andrew, Garrett?
I'll go. I was very, very excited to be a part of it, to be honest. I have a bad memory, so I forgot that I was even a part of it, but it was a fun time, and it got social anxiety, so I was very, very happy to have a role that doesn't speak at all. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, had a day and a half or something of just partying and drinking after, which was really great. Everybody was awesome. It was fun to, you know, chase after Matt and then watch him fall over a couple times, right? but I mean, yeah, it was a good time. It was fun, and I'd gladly do it again. So, yeah.
My first reaction when Carter came to me and said, "Hey, we want you to be the camera guy," I was like, "You want me to be the camera guy?" And okay, your funeral. But I mean, it turned out super well. Everyone was like super cool. Like, yeah, everyone else was saying it was super cool on the trip. It's a lot of fun. And more than anything, I was just glad I got the opportunity to do it.
Following up on that, Garrett, a little bit, was there any particular challenges that, like, the environment and filming location presented when filming? From your, like, perspective?
Yeah. I remember running through the forest and jumping over bushes and fallen trees. There were a couple tracking shots where I was following behind, and I had to keep the camera steady, but not trip over any roots that were, or any like slippery rocks. But besides that, I mean, the weather was perfect. There, it was like sunny, it wasn't rainy. Other than everything on the ground, conditions were perfect.
And I guess also going into it a little bit, what is your guys' background in film and acting and stuff going into it? Like, did you have experience before you did it, or was this kind of your first hit into this sort of field?
Yeah, for me, I had been directing short films for years now. My first one that won any awards was back in 2015. I did a short called The Detective, which I entered in one film festival that was designed specifically for high school students. Got second place there. And then I didn't do any others until 2017. And then I had like five films back to back to back to back to back that all won awards. And of those five, three of them were actually horror films, which is kind of ironic because I didn't really watch horror movies until high school. So the fact that I went from watching, just starting to familiarize myself to the genre, to winning awards for films I would write and direct in that genre was kind of a fast turnaround. And then between then and when we shot this, I got hired to actually start working on bigger productions. Like, I spent a year working on The Walking Dead, and I wrapped on that just a couple months before we went up and shot Alpine Oaks.
For me, I went to school in Fanshawe, in London, Ontario, for film production, which was okay. But there I directed and wrote a few shorts. I learned how to use audio equipment. I basically learned, like, the intermediate skills of everything. But, like, funnily enough, like, I'd say that my camera work was the weakest, but after working on Alpine Oaks, I felt pretty confident about it. I think besides Alpine Oaks, I've worked on some Mothers Against Drunk Driving PSAs and on a, I can't name it, but a Canadian reality TV show. You know what it is. It's not one of the trashy ones, but I can't say it. Yeah, that's it.
Nice. I have been an actor for a while now, and I did a lot of stuff in university, a lot of improv and a lot of like musicals in university and high school. And getting out of university during the pandemic, which was awesome. You know, I started really focusing on my YouTube channel, which is a lot of comedy shorts and improvised stuff like that. But I was in late 2021, early 2022, I was just feeling kind of stuck as like a creative person. So I started making my own films on YouTube and, kind of working with the camera, just like filming stuff in my apartment, which I'm still doing. And I quite enjoy because it's just a way to express myself and get some practice acting wise and learn a little bit more about filmmaking itself. But yeah, and I think just a couple months before Alpine Oaks, I just started doing improv again in Oakville, which has been great. I don't mean for that to sound sarcastic. And I feel like that came out sarcastic. It's actually fantastic. I love it. But no, it was funny to be doing all this comedy work and then get cast in a horror movie that's like totally serious. But weirdly did actually come into play and did help because there's my character had little to like very few lines and little to work with just because it's such a short, you know, such a short film. But there were improv techniques I just tried to employ just to keep things fresh and try new things. And Sean was nice enough to let me play with that. So, yeah, this was a good experience for me, and it gave me a lot of confidence as a as an actor and as a creative person. So I've you know, continued making my own stuff, and I feel less stuck now. So, yeah, it's great.
Pretty awesome. So best for last, no experience whatsoever. Yeah.
On that, Andrew, what was it like to play the killer with your background, and generally for anyone who knows you, your demeanor is not particularly intimidating or like, you know.
Thank you. I mean, it was kind of easy, to be honest. You know, you had a big mask on, you put on a big heavy duty jacket, right? So I'm already pretty stiff from wearing that, and then the mask, you know, fogs up so I can't see anything, so I'm already kind of having that shifty look about me. And then also generally being awkward, that probably helped play the role play well. But yeah, I don't know. It was, I think also just everybody was really nice, right? Everybody was friendly. So it was pretty easy to just feel comfortable and try things without feeling too embarrassed, I guess. So, yeah.
Good to hear. Do you guys have any notable moments that you really liked from the film, or anything, or any behind the scenes or things that made it into it that you really thought were like, oh, this is worth noting?
My favorite shot of the entire film is the one where the flask drops as Matt's running away and then Andrew chases after him. It's just I love the way that shot turned out. Don't think it actually took that many takes either.
I just dropped it perfectly, I know. I'm not good. Yeah. That was a good shot. Yeah, I like the shot, and I think it made it into the film where Andrew punched me in the face.
Forgot about that.
You got a cold collapse.
Accident, but yeah, no, like immediately afterwards, Sean was like, "Get the medic!" And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. That shot had to be the one making it, because it was so perfect on camera too.
It was so real.
Such pain.
Oh yeah. Such fear in his eyes. In both of them. Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Yeah.
For me, I remember
falling down too. Those were fun. Me tripping and falling constantly in the forest, running out, being chased. I thought those were great.
For me, I think my favorite was, or one of my favorites was, it was one of the night scenes where I remember I had to, fall sideways with the camera, and I basically had to like do it in a way that was smooth. I didn't want to injure myself, so I had to like fold my knees first and then like tilt to the side. It took a few takes, but you know, we got there, and it's what I signed up for. And at the end I was like, you know, kind of hurt, but it was worth it. I feel accomplished.
To make a note about that. Sorry, Andrew. I just wanted one note about that specific scene. There's a behind the scenes clip, which maybe we'll release, of me with a pickaxe mining out the scene that Garrett has to fall into, because we had to dig a hole, because it's all rock. Where we're filming is up on like a stony kind of like rock area. So there's a scene of me with a pickaxe mining out a hole for them to fall into that's filled with like padding that we had to figure out how to make them like fall and not hurt themselves, but not make it look like padding. And sorry, yeah, I just had to note that one.
I was just gonna say, just the only scene, I guess, my favorite one, which isn't really much of a scene, was the cracked phone. And the only reason I liked that so much is because I was the one allowed to crack it, and that was fun. Smashing a phone on a rock.
I know it didn't get into the film, but my favorite scene was when we smashed the guitar for no reason. The loudest gunshot twang of the strings breaking, and it just never got used.
Yeah, the broken guitar is in the film. It's just we don't have the we just don't have the clip of it being broken in the film.
Oh man,
that was such a good clip. Other than that, Matt, what was, because I know this we talked about a little bit on the actual set, but what was your method like of getting into being the detective and getting into that head?
Well, like I said, you know, he has few lines, so a lot of it, which I kind of like, because then it's a lot of it I can just kind of bring in myself. So, what I think is important with a character like that who you don't have a ton to work off of is to really map out as much as you possibly can. So I made a backstory for this character. I manifested a whole story for this guy and why he was here on this day investigating this crime and what that meant to him. And, you know, I kind of saw it as a little bit of a, it's hard not to sound pretentious here, but doubling down on that. It's like kind of like a resurrection for himself and whatnot. The character's an alcoholic and, you know, clearly has some problems. So yeah, that was one thing.
I want to say you took like 3 drinks in a single shot at one point just from the flask for that tracking shot going around the backside.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. It was a problem for his character, and I think it really showed. But yeah, I got weird looks from some people on set because I always listen to music when I play specifically serious roles. But most roles, I just really like listening to music. I like making a playlist for the character, and I had a very specific playlist for this guy. It was just like Pixies and Stone Temple Pilots and Nirvana, like just, you know, 90s heavy angsty stuff, and I was just like into it. And yeah, I got a few weird looks from crew members just being like, is he okay? He's not playing the killer, he knows that, right? So yeah, it was a lot of fun, but yeah, it was
So, just because I don't think this will ever actually be noted in the thing, how many people were actually up there? Do you guys remember? Like, there was a lot of people in that cabin, right? I think it was like, what, 18 or something?
16, because I remember, yeah, I remember when we were tracking for when we're doing the math for how much food to bring.
Yeah. So, that was interesting. Were you guys expecting that many people up there when you heard that?
Nope.
I was expecting like 10 or so people, maybe 12.
What was in the flask? Does anyone remember? Because I don't.
The flask was literally just Dr. Pepper. And then once we started to run out of Dr. Pepper, I started adding water in to make it last longer.
Oh, wonderful.
It did taste pretty good, I will say.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Hey, if he liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Dr. Pepper Light, you know, like with the water in it. It lasted longer. It wasn't too heavy on my stomach. Like, yeah.
Especially with all your running scenes, probably a good thing.
Yeah. It was, because when it was just Dr. Pepper, you know, that's a lot. But when you throw in the water there, it's like you've only had like half a can over the course of like the whole day. So it's not too bad.
I was actually going to ask Sean, did you have any particular people in mind when you wrote the roles? Like, did you originally write it just in general? Or did you have like people you were thinking you were going to try and go with?
I didn't really have, the only person I had in particular was Addison. I had already picked out Mischief. I'd already picked out Arrow for. But beyond that, I really didn't know who I was even going to have access to while I was writing. So, yeah. So I kind of wrote and then prayed.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, we filmed in Ontario, up north and up in northern Ontario for a lot of what we were filming, and a lot of our cast is not from Ontario. A large section of them was from BC. Some of our members were from the United States. And some of them, it was their first time leaving their country to come to Canada, which was which was Sean's situation, which was really interesting.
So I think I finally got the full headcount of who all we were going to have, like maybe 3 weeks before we did it. Like, it wasn't long. So
it was a pretty tight window on a lot of those moments. I remember specifically we were actually building Matt's costume well on set because we weren't sure what we wanted him to look like, and we didn't have him ahead of time to see what the costume should look like. So we just kind of like threw shit on him, and eventually we're like, yeah, that works. How did you feel about your costume?
Because I remember it looked really cool. Like, the costume looked really cool. So it was just like us while everybody else is like unpacking and stuff like that. It's like, let's get this figured out. Like, because we got filmed tomorrow morning and it's already like, you know, coming up on the evening. So it was just, I think you, me, and Sean, just the three of us just in the living room going, oh, well, this looks sick, right? So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that one was my leather jacket, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Which did not bring it for the film.
Yeah, I brought it with the, like, oh, you know, it's Canada. I've heard Canada gets cold. And then it wasn't that bad for the temperatures. Like, okay, well, I feel stupid bringing the jacket. Hang on, this fits Matt.
Yeah. I will say that got hot during the scenes outside. Like, it got, between takes, I was taking that jacket off and just like, oh, need some water. Need some Dr. Pepper light. Cool down. Yeah.
Speaking of hot costumes, Watson, or Andrew, your costume was quite warm,
damn,
right?
Yeah. I mean, every single, just taking it off whenever I could, the mask. I mean, my face was soaking wet every single take. I'm just glad that it was fogging up, because else you'd just see a sweaty killer just going...
for reference, we had him in a winter jacket. That was like my old winter jacket we threw him in. But we wanted to make it look rough, and it had like logos on it. So what we actually did, and I think there might be a background scene of this, is we put it on a target block and we shot it with like crossbows and like bow and arrows, and then I think we stabbed it at one point. We just pretty much shot as much as we could to just like destroy it.
And then I still didn't think it was destroyed enough, so after they were done, I took a knife, and the thing was tear-resistant, so I was taking a knife and trying to tear this thing even more, because there was one of the logos was still attached to it, so I took a knife and just kept cutting and cutting until there was no more logo.
I think I took, like, the wood-cutting axe we had, I think I took that to it, and, like, it didn't do anything. Like, this jacket's like impervious. Like,
it was a great jacket. It is, for reference, it is a Milwaukee heated jacket, like a construction jacket, because I wanted it to look like bulky, and so because of that, it's like exterior is like heavy canvas and like so difficult to cut. Oh, it was great. How do you guys feel about the final product of the film? I believe everyone's gotten to see it so far, right? Everyone's gotten to see it. Okay, good. It would be a little awkward if I asked that, and we're like, no, I haven't seen it. What the
fuck are you talking about? Any of us?
I totally haven't seen it.
We're gonna watch it in like 2 minutes. Don't worry.
Been out since last year, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with how it turned out. I was really nervous when I first started putting together the rough cut, but I always am. And then it's like, okay, I'm loving some of these individual shots. I got to put all the shots together now. And yeah, it turned out really good. So.
Yeah. What did you guys?
Sorry. I loved it. Like I said, I love slasher movies. So it's cool as an actor to see myself in a slasher movie, and in one that I think is really well done and shot really well, and with really good performances from not just from me, from everyone. Not to be that guy. No. But no, I really enjoy the movie, and like I said, I like the idea of it and the whole kind of, you know, what do you call it? Like the pitch of it is just phenomenal, I think. So yeah, I was really pleased with how it turned out, and yeah.
We talked about a little bit earlier, injuries on set. Shout out to our wonderful medic who was on site the whole time to help us. How did, like, other than the ones we mentioned, were there any other, like, injuries that really happened? Other, I mean, other than a knife through the chest, but...
I had to go to the medic one time, and I was so proud of myself because, like, I've never had an accident on set before, but I always have a medic just in case. It's like, we got all the way through shooting, didn't have any problems. The day after we wrapped, we were hanging out, we were all in the lake, and then I jumped in and cut my foot on a sharp rock and ended up having to go to the medic. It's like, great, we make it all the way through shooting, and then I cut my foot trying to relax the day after wrap. Wow. I actually still have the scar from that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Eesh. At least that happened afterwards. Yeah. Didn't have to deal with it on set.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think just the running through the forest and, like, having to fall down numerous times, I think I scared the medic, like, a number of times, because she was always like, be careful, please. Like, can you just... I'm like, I'm trying to. And I remember there was some fall I had to do where they're like, okay, Matt, so fall right here. Don't fall 2 feet to the right or you're going to hit your head on a rock. So I was like, that's intense. Try not to concuss myself. But yeah. Yeah, just a lot of minor injuries, and then Andrew punched me in the face, and that was kind of the end of it. And yeah,
the finale. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, I don't think there were any injuries, at least for me. I do remember scaring the medic a fair amount, both on and off set. But I think, like, what stands out to me was the bug bites. I remember there's, like, one shot where, like, I'm holding the camera and I just see a mosquito, like, fly and land on my finger. And it, like, bites. And, like, I'm like... And then, like, as soon as we cut, I'm like, sting off me.
Yeah, I was, like, the one person I think that didn't get bit by any bugs while we were up there. But I also used, like, an excessive amount of bug spray, so.
Did you get injured at all, Andrew, or were you good?
For the most part, I think I was pretty good. I was going to say, for at least the last question, there's a scene that I think actually was in the final product, where it's just at the very start, and I only notice it because obviously it happened to me. But, like, I twist my ankle, kind of, when I'm just starting to walk after Matt menacingly. So just at the very start, I just go... And then start walking normally. So, I mean, well, other than that, I mean, I was just walking around. That's it.
Yeah. If you guys could have... Do you guys have any own personal, like, headcanons or thoughts about the characters that, like, weren't in the script or ideas that you thought about it, you know?
Staying out of this one, because I have plans, so I'm staying out of this one.
I always imagined the killer, because he was, like, in that, like, heavy-duty work vest. I always imagined that he was, like, a disgruntled, like, local to, like, North Ontario cottage country, and all these, like, kids coming and partying. He's like, these dang kids, I'm gonna murder them all.
Wagging a finger.
Yeah, I can't remember, like, the exact background or backstory that I had for my character, but I knew there was something about the fact that he was definitely divorced and was And yeah, just not a good relationship with his kids. That's the only thing I can remember. There was way more to it than just that. It wasn't like, well, is he an alcoholic? Divorced. Like, there was more going on there, but that's the only thing I can remember off the top of my head. And he really liked Pixies. He really liked listening to Pixies. Yeah.
I know I always, like, I thought the main group was there. In my head, and this 100% is probably not canon, but I thought 100% the other Andrew who was on set, who played one of the one of the campers, was 100% there to break up with Addison, like Mister's character. That's just my own head canon. Because he was just so quick to be like, take him, kill him first. 100% not true. Director, canonize it.
Oh man. Yeah. Can I also just say about the when I got on set, this is just one thing I thought was really funny, where I was like, who's playing the killer in this? Because I don't know. And someone was like, oh, Andrew. And I was like, oh, the musician. And I kind of was like, oh, okay, that's all right. Well, I guess that would work. And they're like, no, not him. The other Andrew. And I look over at Watson, and I'm like, 90210? Like, look, he's so cute. He's going to be the killer? Really? I'm like, all right. And then he puts on the mask, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to fuck with him. Yeah. So, yeah, great casting with that, because I didn't expect it. And you were really, really, really scary. Oh, man.
I think there is actually some shots that didn't get used, but if you look super carefully, Watson's just in the background. Like, you can just kind of see his mask in the background of some shots. They might have been used, I'm not sure, but like, if you look very carefully, his mask, he's just standing there in the background of frames, cause, like, with Matt walking by, because I just wanted to make it as creepy as possible. So I think at one point I was like, hey Watson, can you stand in the bush?
Nice.
I want to say one of those shots actually she did make it in.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we had to get that no trespassing for just thinking of interesting stuff.
That was one of the hardest things to find. Was that?
Yeah, the no trespassing sign. We literally got it the day before we left to go up to shoot, because it took us that long to find one.
I actually have it in the background. That's just, it has all the signatures. Everyone signed it.
So next time that we go to film up there, if we need one again, we have to find another one.
Yeah, we have to find another one. Overall, I mean, I think it turned out very well. Thank you all for coming and chatting with me so many months after. And I do... Oh, yeah?
Oh, I just said absolutely, you know? Yeah.
And hopefully this will be fun for people to see. At launch, which should be sometime in August, I believe.
I know it's in the fall. I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head.
It's going to be honestly coming out later this year.
Yeah, right now it's the film's still going through film festivals, and we're going to launch it once it finishes this last one. I don't know what the dates are for the last one. So
it will be at TBD, but it's coming out later this year. Fall of 2023.
There you go.
Anyways, thank you much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Bye-bye.
Aslunther is a podcast created by Lantern Zora. Today's episode was an interview with Sean McGarry, Garrett Cordingley, Cotillion, Matt Hall, and Andrew Watson discussing the creation of Lantern Zora's other production, Alpine Oaks, available on YouTube. Aslunther will begin its regularly scheduled program again on January 19th, 2024, at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for watching, and we will see you all then.